and fervently. We must bear one another's burdens. We must not look on our own things, but also on the things of our brethren, nor must we think that the Lord will bear with such failings at our hands. Thus stands the case between God and us. We are entered into covenant with Him for this work and have taken out a commission. But if we neglect to observe these articles in dissembling or pretending with our God, shall embrace this present world and prosecute our carnal intentions, seeking great things for ourselves and our posterity, the Lord will surely break out in wrath against us and be revenged of such a perjured people, and He will make us to know the price of the breach of such a covenant. Now, the only way to avoid this shipwreck, wrote Winthrop, and to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And for this end, we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must hold each other in brotherly affection and must be willing to rid ourselves of our excesses to supply others' necessities. He went on to talk about our community as members of Christ. So shall we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and the Lord will be our God, and delight to dwell among us as His own people, and will command a blessing on us in all of our ways. So shall we find that the God of Israel among us, and the Lord will make our name a praise and a glory, if we must consider that we shall be like a city upon an hill. What a word! But then Winthrop went on and said, if we deal falsely with our God in this work, and cause Him to withdraw His present help from us, we shall be made a story, a curse, and a byword throughout the world. And our enemies shall speak evil of the ways of God. That's the choice before us, my friends. A heritage of hope. What will we do with it? Thanks for joining us. Thank you for Rod joining us with his book, Forged in Faith. Get a copy of it. Your gift of $20 or more to Save America Ministries. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of our owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and Joel will be doing one evening program a month here, certainly with our stations up in the eastern part of Washington, just to introduce his ministry to you, a wonderful source of information. Ordinarily, Joel does our morning program and the afternoon program every week, so we can keep up with what's really going on, and Joel will give you a unique approach to what's really taking place, the information you're not going to get through the controlled media in the United States. Well, good evening, Joel. How are you?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Well, why don't you just go ahead, and what are we going to talk about first?
Well, we're going to first talk about the financial reform bill. After a marathon session of compromises and negotiation, the House and Senate conferees, there's a conference committee when they passed two different versions of the bill, finally came to conclusions that these things are very much controlled by insider operators. So this is not left to chance. The people who are selected for conferees are people who will follow orders and will get done what the powers that be want them to do. From beginning to end, this bill has been crafted by the United States Treasury under Timothy Geithner. It has not been something written by Chris Dodd or anybody else in the Congress, which is the case with most of these bills that have ever written. Only independent people like Ron Paul end up putting forth legislation and writing those legislation themselves. Everyone else takes legislation that's written by the administration or by people deeper underground even than that, things that are prepared sometimes years in advance and then shopped to willing congressmen to promote. But this financial reform bill is frankly anything but financial reform. As I covered many times in the World Affairs Brief, this is a monster for small business, anybody who has any financial connection, because there's a huge new agency being created by the government. There are all kinds of loopholes and exceptions, so that the biggest banks, in fact, aren't under any more real control than they are presently. But the smaller institutions are. In other words, they've used this crisis as an excuse to craft a huge increase in federal power to control and regulate smaller financial institutions that have heretofore been relatively immune from oversight. And these people are not the problems. These are not the ones that have created the crisis that precipitated these bailouts. These are the people, however, who are going to be under much larger control, and much of that control is really tracking business people, all kinds of reporting requirements of every type of negotiated settlement, and every financial settlement that businesses are involved in, even non-pure financial companies. So this is a massive increase. Even the so-called consumer protection provision of these of this bill is a massive new bureaucracy and massive new reporting requirements and control requirements. Heaven help the person who is charged with a consumer flaw. It's going to be like EPA all over again, trying to control and require information from people.
And, of course, they'll make your life miserable. But basically what this is the transfer of power to the Federal Reserve System, a privately owned central bank owned by the major large banks, not by the small banks. But this whole thing is to give the very people who created the current economic problem power now over all the other banks. What they're going to be able to do is force the small banks simply out of business, and they're going to be bought up by larger banks. They're going to be bought up by larger banks, and soon you're going to end up just with a few very large banks. The people who created the current economic crisis, who control the Fed, are going to control the financial system of America, indeed, perhaps the whole world. We'll go right ahead, Joel.
Well, one of the provisions, of course, of this bill is the so-called liquidation provisions. They have the ability to liquidate any company that they feel now is in a threat of, and that means they have the ability to walk in and take control of these companies. They started out with major provisions to tax the big banks, some $50 billion, then it was down to $19 billion to be able to pay for some of this reconstruction of failed banks. But even that is being eliminated in the quest to secure votes. This House reform package was passed by the House rather quickly under the leadership of Chairman Frank. Barney Frank, declared homosexual from Massachusetts, is corrupt a congressman as you could get. This is the kind of insider dealer that can make the deals that the powers that be want. And, of course, he's promoting all the propaganda that this is going to rein in Wall Street, going to restrict their profits, but it's going to do none of those things. There are provisions, for example, against called the Volcker Rule, which is something, you know, they're touting that it's going to restrict the banks from engaging in risky and speculative hedge funds and derivative operations, but it does no such thing. In fact, it's been modified and crafted so that there are lots of loopholes. Essentially, all they have to do is restructure these types of investments with smaller entities under their control, and they can still get the same thing done. They just can't do it directly as much. They're limited in financial amounts. There are some reserve requirements, but they're so minor that it really doesn't change the ball game that much. So there's an awful lot of smoke and mirrors going on about this. Even the derivatives provisions of this financial reform bill have been gutted so that they can still operate all of the type of risky derivatives that drive this this engine of speculation. And I think this is one of the most important things for your listeners to understand, is that the entire system broke down because, in fact, it was fraudulent. It was a major Ponzi scheme. You essentially took legitimate mortgages, which, as a general rule, they developed ways to package these mortgages and sell them upstream. If you don't do that, you have a problem in the sense that you know, banks can only loan to a certain amount of their mortgage limitations, and then they have to either stop loaning until somebody else pays off the loans. But if they can market those mortgages to other people, other investors, as packages, then in fact that they can begin to loan out more money.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, Joel is simply describing how this whole fraudulent system came together. Of course, Senator Dodd has said, we don't know how this bill is going to work or even many times what's in it. Now, this is supposedly the guy who wrote it, but we're just going to have to see how it works once it starts working, you know. And, of course, Congressman Barney Frank, he was the fellow who gave us the TARP legislation, the $750 billion that was supposed to have gone to a Main Street to stop this whole economic breakdown, and Henry Paulson demanded the money, and so they, and Henry Paulson said, this money is for Main Street, it's not for Wall Street. So Barney Frank wrote the bill, $750 billion to be given to Henry Paulson with no restrictions. He could not be criticized. Nothing could be done to limit what he did. He had total use of that $750 billion that was to be used to bail out Main Street. But Barney Frank forgot to put that in the legislation. So when the money was appropriated for Henry Paulson, after promising he was going to use it to stop the cascade of home foreclosures, Henry Paulson changed his mind the next day and gave the money to Wall Street so they could begin lending money to get the economy moving. The whole idea was Wall Street, we're going to give the money to Wall Street, and then the Wall Street banks are going to lend money and we'll stop the cascading foreclosures of the companies cutting back. But Henry Paulson, when he gave the money to the banks, forgot to tell them they were supposed to lend the money to American corporations. So the major banks lent money to China and to Dubai and to India and to Spain, but they forgot they were supposed to lend any money here in the United States, and they stopped lending money to major corporations in the United States. Now, how could Barney Frank have made such a terrible mistake? He forgot to put in the legislation what Henry Paulson was to do with the $750 billion. How could Henry Paulson have been so stupid? He didn't tell the banks that they were giving this money to lend, but they were supposed to lend it to American companies, not to foreign companies. How could these people who are running our country be so stupid? Unintentionally, or is it possible they wanted this whole thing so what they could do is create a crisis? And what's the solution? More power to the privately owned Federal Reserve System owned by a few major banks, or at least the major holdings at a few major banks. And of course, the whole purpose of this new legislation is to begin to close down the smaller banks and to centralize more power with the major banks. Would that be a fairly good assessment, Joel?
Absolutely. I think you're too kind in your exclamation that there's stupidity involved here. This was carefully crafted, as you well know, and I'm sure you were speaking tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, I was. Go right ahead.
But, you know, this was a carefully crafted greed pyramid that was developed as it went along. For example, you know, there's only a certain percentage at any given time of the economy that can afford with certain rules to take upon mortgages. They purposely began to change the mortgage qualification rules. They developed the missions of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to expand the mortgage ability of government to buy up and to create markets for these mortgages. When that ran out, they started to open the gates to people who should never have qualified for mortgages. And when that ran out, they started to, in fact, lower the requirements so no down was required. And when the people had no down whatsoever, they provided secondary mortgages so they could provide a down payment, and then no down whatsoever with ARM or interest rate changing mortgages. They kept developing everything until they'd milked every potential buyer of a home out of America. And then they knew that the Ponzi scheme was going to collapse. Before that happened, they started to package these subprime mortgages and in collusion with the major credit rating agencies, actual collusion. They rated these things AAA bonds, and they sold these packages of mortgages all around the world to overseas. They got European. And the only reason that they could do that is not only did they manipulate the rating agencies, but they also got the derivatives in the market involved and the hedge fund markets into creating credit default swaps, a form of insurance policy that allowed them to say that we'll guarantee these things if they default. So sure, they're subprime mortgages, you're buying them for a good price, and they're guaranteed, you pay a premium on these things. But the whole thing was a Ponzi scheme because the premiums, in fact, had been paid in to provide huge bonuses that were paid out to AIG executives, Goldman Sachs, who sold a lot of these things to people. And they were riding on the raw power of saying, look at all the money, look at our bottom line in Goldman Sachs, look at the bottom line and all the profits we're making AIG. That's what guarantees your derivative premiums. That's what guarantees. But, you know, a person buying these premiums, buying these derivatives, failed to know that they had sold so many of them, the total amount of derivatives exceeded $500 trillion. It wasn't even enough money, dollars printed or monetized within the world economy to equal or pay off $500 trillion in derivatives. It was a 100% pure Ponzi scheme. And when it began to collapse, as they knew it would, they in fact had bet that it would collapse and had bet on the downside, had shorted the market, so they were going to make money on the downside as well. I mean, this was just an incredible. These people should all be in jail, Dr. Stan.
Well, I think it's so important for our listeners to understand that the Goldman Sachs told the people who were going to be buying these collateralized debt obligations, these bonds made up of all these defective, fraudulent loans, they said, this is a great investment. You're going to make a lot of money. And so, of course, Goldman Sachs, you know, they're a company, a well-known banking company. They wouldn't lie. And so the people bought them. First of all, they had an insurance policy on it. And secondly, they had a AAA rating. But what they didn't understand was that Goldman Sachs was actually taking out bets, derivatives, that these were going to fail. And you know what happened? They failed just like they were supposed to. And these banks on insurance companies and pension funds throughout the world lost literally hundreds of billions, if not trillions, of dollars. And this is what precipitated the whole problem. And of course, I don't quite understand why these people haven't gone back and demanded payment on the insurance policies they took out. But and if those policies, I think some of them are, but they wound up in the courts, and the courts just are dragging their feet. So that the Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and certainly the others that are involved in this fraudulent activity, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, they're not being held responsible for the insurance companies that they policies they wrote guaranteeing these fraudulent loans.
Well, that's what happened with most of the bailout money. Most of the bailout money to AIG went to pay off the derivatives that guarantees that had failed to satisfy, that they were all, they only paid to the insiders. A lot of people lost their money and were not paid off. They simply said the bailout money doesn't go that far. So a lot of the pension funds were left hanging. But I think a lot of them, as you say, have been delayed from filing suit because of promises that they will be made whole at some time. I think even the Federal Reserve has been shoveling out some money under the table to selected people, and that's one of the reasons why they have reacted so strongly against Representative Ron Paul's planned proposal to audit the Fed every year and constantly, and to get into their to want to know exactly where all the money went. They've been adamant they don't want the Fed audited to that extent. So that provision was gutted in the Senate version of the financial reform bill that was passed. It passed the House. But it's interesting, in the conference committee, of course, they failed to reinstate Ron Paul's audit, and they brought it up as an amendment, trying to get this thing tabled, and part of that tabling amendment was to reinstate Ron Paul's full audit of the Fed. It's interesting that it went down into defeat, and the majority of people who voted against Ron Paul were co-sponsors of Ron Paul's bill to audit the Fed. Now, that proves a point that I made months ago in the World Affairs Brief when I said, I think these people are, he had over 300 sponsors in the House. I said, most of these people are jumping on this bandwagon because they want to be able to say, we joined Ron Paul in wanting to audit the Fed, but that they would betray him when the boat actually came, and that has certainly come true.
And basically, of course, a lot of people out here realize that it's the big banks on Wall Street that are behind everything, so the Congress couldn't say, well, my goodness, now we want to audit the Fed, and we voted, you know, we signed the petition along with Ron Paul, but they didn't believe it at all, and when push came to shove, whose side were they on? Were they on the side of the average individual who is being raped by this system and going to be eventually be impoverished, and they're going to destroy the value of his life savings and his pension and his annuities and his bonds? Are they going to be on the side of the average people? Are they going to be on the side of the big banks? And they were on the side of Wall Street, and they showed it here when most of them, the majority, voted against doing the audit that they'd already said that they wanted, and it was all showbiz. It's known as political theater.
Well, it's interesting that the markets reacted positively to the House passage of the reform bill, and it still hasn't passed the Senate. It's in trouble there for a couple of reasons I'll go into. But incredibly, investors reacted by bidding up the stocks of big financial companies after the bill passed in the House. With the market flat or going down, shares of banks and brokers rose 2.7%. Companies most affected by the rules in this bill, supposedly affected, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, their stocks rose even further. Obviously, the insiders who are mostly working the stock market today knew that the word was out that they had dodged a bullet. Even the rating agencies, which were supposed to be reined in and curtailed and had much more financial oversight now and be made prosecutable for falsely rating things, got away, and they did just the opposite. The Congress passed a bill making them immune from lawsuits against their rating system. So this is a rigged system, Dr. Stan. It just is incredibly criminal.
They call it the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and that silly sounds like a socialist. I'm not a socialist. I believe in the free enterprise system. We don't have a free enterprise system. We have a fascist system where you have a small clique of very wealthy people who are manipulating the system to increase their own power, and of course we move towards this centralization of power. It's like Edward Bellamy's book written back in the 1880s, where he talked about one day where a credit card would be just as good in Europe as gold once was. They knew exactly what was going to happen in the 1880s, and they described how everything was further centralization of power until eventually we had just one great corporation that was working with government, and the corporation was government, government was the corporation, and we're seeing that in this bill as we're centralizing all power, destroying the small banks, destroying competition, centralizing power. And where is the outcry from our media? Well, it's muted in its silence. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, thank you. The bill is, there's going to be a lot of manipulation to try to get the bill passed in the Senate. With the death of Ted Kennedy, with the death of Senator Robert.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
At least half of it has to be fulfilled and monetized at some point. They just keep trading these in the speculative round so that nobody actually has to come up with the money.
I think it's important. Joel is just saying that there are a lot of people out there that say the dollar is going to collapse and collapse very soon. Joel believes, of course, we have a problem with fiat money, but he believes that there is no way that they're going to let the dollar collapse at the present time because there's nothing else in the world that can substitute for it, at least not at the present time. Go right ahead.
That's right. For example, the euro, which already has massive problems, it's been devalued steadily against the dollar, has problems because it simply doesn't have the inflationary base that the dollar does. I mean, you'd have to print billions and billions of euros to be able to replace the dollar. What would that do to the value of the euro? It'd be in the same position as the dollar. You couldn't do the same thing with the pound. These people have no backing of this money. They talk about the euro being a strong hard money currency because the European Central Bank has so many billions of dollars in gold. But it's not gold-backed. It's important to understand that a gold-backed currency that does not have a redeemability clause, meaning that you can't turn your dollar bills or your euros in for a fixed amount of gold, is not a gold-backed currency. And that's what brought on that. First of all, that's in the Bretton Woods Agreement, when the dollar was created as a hard money currency with fixed redeemability in gold, that is the reason. These financial powers, the people are very smart. It's the reason that they got the dollar to be accepted worldwide, even over the pound, because it was redeemable in gold. And in fact, when financial markets began to find out that the dollar was being inflated more than the value of gold, they said, well, we'll take the gold instead of the dollars. And they started to empty the U.S. Treasury of gold. France in particular was turning in billions of dollars in cash that had been spent in France and was taking the gold out. And that's when Nixon imposed or shut the gold window and made it non-redeemable again. And since then, of course, the dollar's been a free-floating currency. They've been free to print. The point is that trillions of dollars had already been inflated, and the world had accepted those. It was a marvelous scheme that they pulled, because we would have had hyperinflation had all of those dollars stayed at home and inflated the prices here at home. But because they exported our inflation worldwide, we were the only company or country in the world that had the benefit of exporting inflation. Argentina went into hyperinflation. Germany, prior to World War II, went into hyperinflation because their currency were printing in far in excess of what other paper currencies were printing worldwide. And that's why there can't be an actual collapse of the dollar. First of all of the other currencies are printing like mad as well and running into stimulus and deficit spending. And so all of the currencies are kind of inflating at more or less the generally same rate. Actually, the U.S. has been inflating in quantity higher than other currencies, but not in percentage terms because the base of U.S. inflation is so much greater. For example, Timothy Geithner inflated about $3 to $5 trillion, and if you look at $200 trillion as the base of American dollars, that's only 1.5 to 1.75%. That's hardly hyperinflation. And that's why the latest rumor by Jim Willey, the hat trick better saying, I think is way off base here. His theories are gaining a lot of traction among those eagerly looking for reasons why the financial powers that be and their dollar will soon fail. Because my belief is that any new widely used gold-backed or hard asset currency embraced by major nations of the world will act as a dollar killer and usher the United States into the third world. No nation, and I say this nonsense, no nation or group of nations is going to produce a true gold-backed currency. First of all, they don't have enough gold to produce a currency that can compete with the dollar. And if holders of a gold-backed currency could trade it in for gold, they'd be busy doing that because the country would, in fact, have to be inflating it in order to pay for all the deficit spending and stimulus money that they're doing. And that would destroy a currency because it would empty out the gold and it would no longer be gold-backed. The gold-backed currency that loses all its gold is suddenly a worthless currency. So this is based upon the new Nordic euro, which is basically a trading of crude oil in Nordic euros, and everyone's supposedly signing on to that, but it's going to be no more effective than the Iran euro-based wars in terms of challenging the dollar.
And so you really believe, of course, that this is more or less of a distraction, that they keep talking about this, but right now it's not realistic, that there will be another currency, at least for some time, that will replace the dollar. Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, I don't think actually that any currency is going to challenge the dollar until war comes. And the reason it will come when war is the powers that be are going to use war as their ultimate weapon to destroy the debt structure that they built, that they cannot pay off.
And of course, there's no way that they can ever pay off. I mean, there's no way we can ever pay off Social Security or Medicare or this massive trillion dollars debt that we have. It's just unpayable. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Joel Skousen, and Joel, go right ahead. We were talking about the fact that you felt that what they were going to do was, down the line, create a war, and then, of course, they could write off all the debt. We can blame it on Ahmadinejad or whoever the enemy is, Putin or the people over in China. But everybody else will be blamed, but this will allow them to just destroy the debt and start all over again. Is that your thought?
Well, it's a little more complex than that. What it really means is that since the globalist leaders in the United States and Britain are planning on inducing a Russian and Chinese war against the United States, it will most likely be nuclear. The chances are very, very high, and they know it. I mean, I think that's why they're preparing deep nuclear bunkers, not for terror strikes, because they know a major nuclear strike is coming on America. The very markets themselves and their computers will be physically destroyed. I think they'll then, in New York and Washington and other places, centers of finance, and I think they'll have an excuse then to be able to come out of their bunkers and say, you know, all of the records are gone. The United States has been hit with a completely debilitating. Our military is essentially 90% wiped out. The debt's absolved. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, they'll just walk away from it. I think they have to say we'll start all over, and I think if there is a new currency, it will start then. Because, in fact, the U.S. dollar will no longer be backed by the financial strength of the United States. Now, that's how I think it's going to turn out. I think they have to do that. There's no other solution. By the year 2020, give or take 2 or 3 years, the U.S. is going to exceed their ability to even pay the interest on the debt. That's when they reach technical bankruptcy, and thus the need for war to wipe off the debt sometime around that period. And clearly, Russia and China are building strength and their military power and their weapons of mass destruction to be able to attack the United States by that time. Meantime, there's going to be a war in Iran. It's very clear that Israel is preparing to attack Iran. They've got permission from Saudi Arabia. They're having a an extreme problem with Turkey right now over the blockade in Gaza, and they've lost their position to use Turkey as a basing point to get to Iran in their attack. But it's wide open in Saudi Arabia. And, of course, they can fly over Iraq, U.S.-based as well. But I think that is not going to lead to this third world war that I'm predicting. I think it's going to lead to a wider Middle East war where the United States and Israel as a combination will finally clean up the mess in Lebanon and Syria and other areas and kill off their enemies. In the meantime, of course, because of the devastation of their attack.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, our guest, of course, is Joel Skousen. And Joel is saying that he thinks that this major war with Russia and China will not be happening soon. Although he does think there's going to be a war with Iran, and that the United States and Israel are going to be going to war with Iran very soon. And probably it'll be a wide Middle Eastern war. But this will not be the cataclysmic war that he's anticipating. Before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the World Affairs Brief and why they should get a copy of the World Affairs Brief. And I will comment that I do personally read this every week when it comes out. It's excellent. And I would also comment that we carry Joel's three books. Now, Joel has written three books about getting prepared for the difficult times that lie ahead. One of them is called Strategic Location or Relocation. In other words, what do you do? You don't want to be living in a major city when the structure of society begins to break down. Another is called The Safe Home, and how you would secure your home, or the secure home, how you would secure your home for the difficult times. And there's a third book. But they are all available. Joel's books are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I will mention that since we started carrying them a couple of months ago, they're one of our best sellers. People are looking for advice as to what to do. How could I begin preparing myself? I can't leave the country, but I know difficult times are coming. We may very well begin to see the breakdown of the structure of society. What can I do to protect my family? So, Joel, first of all, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the World Affairs Brief and subscribe to it. Secondly, about your books, and of course they are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead.
Well, Stan, I think I'm going to hire you as my marketing agent. You've done a wonderful job.
Go right ahead.
I feel very privileged to have your endorsement on those things. You know, my World Affairs Brief, I hopefully try to provide a great service for people. The media is strongly manipulated by that which they don't say, more than just outright lies. It's by careful omissions of the truth. That's what I try to put back in the briefs. Got some exciting things in tomorrow's brief that's coming out. Many things we're talking about tonight in this interview. People can get a free sample copy of the brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. There's also a lot of free information on the website. One of the most important features is my research staff posts on the website all the links to the top and best news stories. They go through hundreds and hundreds of web pages each day looking for these little kernels and save you all of the opportunity. I know, Stan, that you and your staff go to my website to check on that those gems that we've ferreted out, you know, the best of at least the conventional and the alternate news media. There's a fair amount of disinformation on the alternate news media on the Internet, and our staff and myself were very, very well prepared to trying to decide where the propaganda is and where the truth is. So that's one of the great services we provide at the World Affairs Brief.
And let me just mention that I go to World Affairs Brief every morning. I go through my emails. The next thing is World Affairs Brief. Then I go to work. But doing a real service, providing the information that people need so you don't have to surf the net, and you certainly won't be taken in by a lot of the real disinformation that's up there, put in by various government agencies or the Brotherhood of Darkness to mislead conservatives and Christians about what's really going on. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, you know, in let's take the story, for example, about the Russian spy. There's all kinds of manipulation written over this. It's not that the spies didn't exist. They did exist. These people, interestingly enough, and this is a very important point I want to make. These people were brought into the United States, inserted into the United States. They were Russian-born people, trained in their top language institutes so that they could speak either French or English or any combination of the two, almost without accents. But they were sent over here almost immediately after the so-called collapse of the Soviet Union. And this is proof, of course, that the Soviet Union never really collapsed. This was a carefully crafted deception. Yeltsin was a puppet of the communist powers to be that had gone underground, and that they're immediately beginning more espionage at the United States. And yet it's interesting. Every single news outlet in the world who trumpeted to the world about the wonders of the fall of the Soviet Union, none of them have put two and two together and gone back, as I have in the World Affairs Brief, and pointed out that this is a gross contradiction of the concept that this was a true demise of communism. It was not. But what's even more interesting about this is that people like Bill Gertz, who's well-meaning and is a good person at the Washington Times, he's been induced to talk, as many reporters are, on both the right and the left. They're given insider access to government people. So he can call his sources within government and so-called get the inside scoop, and that's what he writes about in the Washington Times. The trouble is, nobody legitimately on our side in government is allowed to talk to anyone and tell the real truth. They have to tell part of the truth in order to be believable, but there's always a little curveball involved there. There's always a little bit of disinformation. And so, of course, one of the things he's getting out of his source about this Russian spy ring is that all of the diplomats in the world, and especially in Moscow, are preparing for this retribution that's going to come from the Russians, that they're expecting that the Russians are going to kidnap or oust several of our diplomats and then hold them hostage to trade for these spies, claiming that our government, well, all diplomats spy. I mean, this is something, this is just a theater of political theater where the United States and Russia and other governments, even Israel spies on the United States, and the U.S. spies in Israel, and Israel spies on France, and France spies on the United States. They have to, because nobody trusts each other. These people are all part of a predator game. None of these people are true democratic representatives and sincere people. Puppets may be in presidential positions, but all of the underlying bureaucracy and law enforcement, CIA, KGB, all of these people are bad actors, dark side operators, and they don't trust anybody. And so we have a world that is full of illusions, illusions that you speak so eloquently about, Dr. Stan, and this spy ring is one of those illusions. I mean, the KGB has many more deep penetrating spies than the CIA and the FBI, like Robert Hansen, and they all follow the same pattern. You know, Robert Hansen was in the FBI spying for the Soviet Union for what, how many, 12, 15 years before he was outed? And the FBI knew all about him during the entire time. Well, what good is a counter-terrorist operation if, in fact, you let him keep spying for you for year after year? There has to be an ulterior motive for doing that. There has to be an ulterior motive for outing these particular fairly harmless spies who are simply ingratiating themselves, recruiting other people, but not really. In fact, they haven't even been charged with spying. And leaving alone the real dangerous spies that they're tracking within the State Department, which has always been a nest of communist spying, within the CIA, within Los Alamos, within Sandia Laboratories. In fact, we continue to have what they call military intelligence exchanges with Russia and China, not with Taiwan, not with our allies in South Korea, not with the French, not with the British. They don't get any scientists to come over to Los Alamos and Sandia Laboratories, only the Russians and the Chinese. As you have said so many times, building the best enemies that money can buy. Well, the rumor...
Go right ahead.
The rumor has it from Bill Gertz, from his official, that in fact the Obama administration is looking for an excuse to release these people in exchange for a reset of good relations with Russia. Why should you be bending over backwards to have good relations with a country that is spying on you, that is attempting to, or is building and rearming to be able to attack you? I think the only credible reason and explanation for that is that, in fact, our own government, and I'm not saying that Barack Obama understands where he's headed. He's only following orders from his handlers, one of which is probably Rahm Emanuel, who, and although, you know, the National Security Council to the president has stated they get the daily marching orders from Henry Kissinger, who is a globalist. And I think the purpose of all of this kowtowing to China, covering up for Russian rearmament, giving money and technology to these people is that building the best enemy money can buy, that they want this world war that will justify a move into a new world order that has military power. Because if they allow our own military to be destroyed in a preemptive nuclear strike, then they have every excuse to come out of their bunkers and say, the Russians and Chinese have deceived us, we didn't know this was coming, they claim innocence, just like at 9/11. And you have to say, now that our military is ineffective, we'll have to band together and give military power as we rebuild to a United Nations world army to beat this new enemy, and we'll have a great patriotic war like World War II. I think that's where we're headed. And part of this is all that theater to be able to have an excuse to go back to the Russians and say, let's make up and be friends.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but there are so many really very real threats in this country, and yet they focus on a non-threat, a non-issue that's been around for almost 20 years, dating back to the fall of the Soviet Union. They're not talking about the Islamic terrorist training camps in this country, and these people are being prepared really to create civil unrest when, of course, we go to war, I believe, with Iran. But we're not going to talk about those. They know what's going on. But you'll never see this mentioned by ABC, CBS, NBC, or any of the major media that belong to the Brotherhood of Darkness, which is orchestrating the political theater which we're seeing today. Go right ahead.
Well, that's true. The whole war on terror is, in fact, a major propaganda organization. I mean, there is more terror against the United States today than there ever was before 9/11, because we are out there supposedly trying to kill the terrorists and killing so many innocent civilians in the process. Every time we do, we create whole families that hate the United States, and many of their siblings and children start to join the terrorist forces. But we're busy instigating conflict and killing innocent civilians in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and what we're going to do to Iran in a massive attack there is going to be truly devastating as well. There's also provocations going on at various levels within the country, at the G20, really very little accomplished. Everyone was pontificating in the G20 about cutting their deficit following the pledge of Barack Obama to cut the U.S. deficit in half within 2 years. Everyone's promising to cut their deficits in half by 2013. I mean, this is just ludicrous. Nobody follows up on that. I mean, remember when Barack Obama was campaigning, he was going to cut the deficit in half, and now it's up to 2 years from now, and when 2 years from now comes, it will be 4 years in the future. There will be another crisis. People won't even remember about those promises. But even as the world rightfully looks at the proper role is to cut deficit spending and start living within their means because of the backlash against the Greece debt default and the soon-to-default debt in Portugal and Spain, Timothy Geithner is rallying the troops to go into more deficit spending. It's a real battle between the Keynesians and the Austerians, as Peter Schiff calls it, the people who believe in austerity. And the Austerians are going to lose. But one of the most incriminating things about the G20 things was the attack of police on the demonstrators. And we find out once again, as it happened in 2007, in Montebello in Canada, when they had a globalist meeting, when there were protesters there, that they had agent provocateurs who were part of the police that were part of actually probably making up all of those that they call the dressed in black and that have masks on them. A lot of these people, if not all of them, turn out to be police agent provocateurs. The proof came in 2007 in Montebello by a photograph of a demonstrator who was being taken down by the police, and his boots, the soles of his boots were visible, were brand new military type boots with lug soles with a big yellow medallion rubber label in the insole, which was typical of his boots. But what was interesting is the soldiers who was holding down, their boots were also showing that they were on their knees, and they were the exact same boots. The demonstrators that were taken down were wearing the same footwear, standard issue of the Montreal police.
And of course, this is the technique of the agent provocateur. You have a group of peaceful demonstrators, you have the agent provocateurs, government agents assigned there, are usually wearing, you know, a black mask or black leotards or something like that, and they begin burning cars, they begin breaking windows. They create an incident, so then you could justify the police moving against them. Ladies and gentlemen, these are standard techniques, exactly what happened in the battle in Seattle, and we have a great four-tape set that discusses exactly how they orchestrated that, and the very people who were saying, oh my goodness, these terrible demonstrators, were the people who were financing the agent provocateurs that were doing the damage and committing the acts of terrorism, and certainly burning buildings and things of that sort. Standard operating technique, and the American people haven't caught on to it yet, but go right ahead.
Well, let's move on to the nomination of Elena Kagan. I don't think we've seen ever someone so disingenuous before the microphones and so much incompetence in terms of the senators in properly grilling this woman. Everyone is so obsequious to try to, you know, not offend a person who's both a Jew and a woman that gives her double immunity against criticism. Washington Post is gloating about how Kagan has charmed everyone, evading any embarrassing gaffes. Others are decrying the vacuous grandstanding by various senators pontificating about their own agenda rather than grilling her as they should be to embarrass her about her answers. And they let her off the hook so easily. It's so easy. I mean, even though they have made a point, I'm not going to tell how I would rule in a certain case, you can ask them, and it's a legitimate question, how do you interpret these aspects of the Constitution to get them to commit themselves to a certain type of interpretation. But even Kagan was prepared for that, because she was actually prepared to lie, and she did lie during the second full day of questioning before the Judiciary Committee. Kagan said she disavowed President Barack Obama's statement about employing empathy in judging people. That's considered an activist judge. A conservative judge will not let his empathy for the clients or for the victims change. He will only rule according to the original intent of the Constitution. And here she is, starting to claim that she's in line with Justice Antonin Scalia in endorsing originalism. That method, of course, emphasizes what the authors of the U.S. Constitution considered to be their original intent. She said this: sometimes they lay down very specific rules, sometimes they lay down broad principles. Either way, we apply what they try to do. In a way, we are all originalists. Just a bold-faced lie, Dr. Stan. There's really no way to counter that unless the person can say you are lying, and you have the evidence to prove you're lying.
Well, I think the thing is, there are a number of Jewish rabbis, very conservative Jewish rabbis, who come out publicly against this woman saying she may be Jewish, but she doesn't represent us. She's on the wrong side for homosexuality issues. She's the wrong side as far as abortion issues. This woman is not fit to be the Supreme Court Justice. These are Jewish rabbis. You're not going to read about that in your newspapers. A lot of Jewish people very upset that they would pick a woman who is obviously a homosexual, who is against the military, who's against our Constitution, who has her own agenda. But then why should we be surprised that Barack Obama would pick this sort of a person to become the Supreme Court Justice? Well, Joe, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Judge Robert Bork himself, the Supreme Court nominee, blasted Kagan for one quote that she found that was just devastating, proving that...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
1-4-4-8-9-2-7. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into a very difficult time. We're going to be seeing increasing civil unrest and violence in our cities. There are terrorist training camps in this country, Islamic terrorist training camps. If you haven't heard my interviews with Paul Williams, why you need to get them. And of course, he will be the special guest, one of the guests, at our October 17th conference, all-day conference here in Monterey, North Shore, Monterey Bay. So if you like to come, well, you're going to have reservations. We serve lunch, and you may want to get the hotel reservations. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927 for the all-day conference here, the Radio Liberty Conference, and Paul Williams, who is the world's leading expert on the Islamic training camps in our country, and the FBI knows about them. In fact, they're being financed by probably the CIA or other branches of government, where they're taking people out of our prisons, blacks, converting them to radical form of Islam, taking them to Pakistan for training, bringing them back in the United States, where they're prepared for when the word is given. And, of course, the same thing is happening. There are many, many people out there who are victims of mind control, who've been programmed to react when they, of course, they're programmed to react and when they're triggered. And that is another factor. And if you haven't heard our four-tape set on the Black Awakening, you need to get that, the four-tape set on the Black Awakening. Well, Sydney, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you'd like, to, of course, to help Radio Liberty, why, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or Sydney, get some of our products. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. How do you understand what's going on today? Well, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and it will give you insight. We talk there about Edward Bellamy's book, written in 1888, where Bellamy said, you know, by the year 2000, a credit card will be just as good in Europe as gold is today. That's what, 120 years ago. They knew all about credit cards then. It was all planned ahead of time. Everything's planned. And, of course, at that time, there was just one great corporation, and that's exactly what the new financial bill is, gradually to remove all competition and centralize all power in the hands of just a few very powerful people. We have a central bank, and that central bank is owned by a few large banks, and they, of course, direct the policies of the financial policies of the United States. And they're aimed at, of course, destroying the sovereignty of our nation, merging us into a one-world government, and impoverishing the American people. And they're the ones primarily behind this whole fraudulent environmental movement and global warming and the whole idea of sustainable development. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. If you want to know more about sustainable development, well, you need to get my sustainable development syllabus and my talk on sustainable development, the road to world government. If you doubt that they intend to kill off most of the people in the world, and that sounds so ridiculous, Ben, why are we going to war with Iran, ladies and gentlemen? Why are we really going to war with Iran? Because if you go back to 1979, it was the CIA that installed the Ayatollahs. In fact, they even flew Ayatollah Khomeini from Paris to Tehran to install him back in 1979. And the hostage crisis was as phony as a $3 bill. But you'll never hear that mentioned by the controlled media. And ever since 1979, we've been leading up to where we are today, to the point where very soon, I fear, the United States is going to war with Iran. And where is the outcry? Where is the outcry from the American people saying, we don't want another war? We ought to bring our troops home from Afghanistan and Iraq. Oh, we can't do that. We've got to have them over there. Al-Qaeda, all 100 members of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan are plotting against America. That's why we have almost 200,000 people there to counter them. Please pray for America. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, if you are out there in the listening audience, why, hold your calls. We're hoping we're going to have Robert Vaughn with us. If not, we'll do open lines, but hopefully Robert will be with us. And Robert is running for Congress here. I believe it's in Southern California. And he wants to do something about what's going on. And, of course, what I think we need is more people who are willing to take that step and run for political office. And if you run and you don't win, why you run again? But what you do is you build up a political base behind you, as time goes by, you begin to educate the public as to what's going on. But what you have to do, I believe, is use the opportunity when you're running for Congress, when you have access to television, when you have access to newspapers, and when you have access to talk to groups, use that as an opportunity to educate the public. Because the big problem today is most people really don't know what's going on in the world. They have very little idea of the forces at work. What is happening to our nation, or how close we are to the loss of freedom as we know it? Well, Robert, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, good evening, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're running for Congress, and why you're running for Congress?
Well, let me tell you first where I'm running. I am running in the 38th Congressional District down here in Southern California, which covers every area from the L.A. County Fairgrounds down to Norwalk, over to East L.A. and Hacienda Heights and Roland Heights. It's against Grace Napolitano. I grew up in Southern California. I was born in San Diego, so and my family has been here since 1856. We've sort of got those roots in the California, and we sort of, you know, as a family, lean towards a more Republican or as Republic side than and a constitutional side than more of a socialist side, obviously. And that's where I got my founding was from my grandmother, who grew up before the turn of the century. Served in the military as my father and my brother and both my uncles, who paid the highest price in the Marine Corps. I worked now for Children and Family Services down here in Los Angeles County in the Revenue Enhancement Department in probation and mental health, making sure the kids who are got in trouble get their services and making sure that they're trying to keep them on track. Myself, personally, I'm running for office because I'm tired of seeing the Constitution trampled on. And I'm tired of seeing people's rights trampled on. And for many years, I was just, as many listeners out there and many other people who don't really want to get involved in politics, we sort of complain and murmur and say, well, I wish somebody would run, I wish somebody would run. And finally, I just didn't see anybody stepping up to run. And I finally just had to, you know, as they say, pull the ripcord and hope for a good landing.
Well, now, basically, have you been active in the political parties? Have you run for any other political offices, or is this your first foray into politics?
Well, this is actually my second foray. Right after the Ron Paul campaign, which I was the Los Angeles County coordinator for, we got involved with a campaign for liberty, and we heard about what we called the Central Committee here in Los Angeles County. So we ran on the Republican Party side, and we actually got elected. And three of us who ran on Campaign for Liberty got elected to the Central Committee on the Executive Board.
All right, fine. Well, I think that's important. So at least you have your, you've had some experience with the political process. And you are now the official Republican candidate for Congress, be opposing the Democrat running in your district. Is that it?
That's correct.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Robert Vaughn. And if you have any questions at all, of course, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Robert, certainly, what is your opinion of the positions taken by Ron Paul as far as the Constitution is concerned? Do you think he's a little too strident, or do you think that he's correct in certainly his interpretation of what should be done as far as government is concerned?
I believe that he's pretty much on the mark about what should be done as far as following the Constitution. There have been amendment processes. Some have been good and some have been bad. Obviously, we could do a lot better at looking at the Constitution and really, as technology or time goes on, see if it really serves the needs of the people and as it stays within the Constitution as the people's choice. Obviously, it's the first three words, we the people. If the people don't have a say in their government, then, you know, why even have a government and just have a dictatorship?
All right. Well, they think that we should modify the Constitution to make it more efficient so it can provide more for the people?
I don't think we should modify the Constitution as far as the framing. The Bill of Rights, we should get back to the first 10 Bill of Rights for sure. and stick within those. The modification should come in with the 14th Amendment. Obviously, that's been abused and misused, as some of my friends who are part of the Heal America campaign on the American-African side, who have said that this was used, and we, if I'm correct in this, and that's a correct in this, this was used for the slaves that were under the dominion of the United States. And it's now been misused, so when people come over here, they're born, and even though both their parents have just come over here for maybe for a short period of time. Obviously, we're going to have to really learn what a citizenship is, and I think that in our schools, and especially in our education system as of now, we're not teaching children the responsibilities of being a citizen of this United States. One, they're not teaching the Constitution as you should be taught. Two, they're not teaching the Bill of Rights. Three, they're not reading the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, and they barely even understand Washington's farewell address.
Well, because one of the big concerns I have is the fact that we have a school system which has no sense of moral values. I mean, certainly you have to have some standard of morality. We've taken God and prayer out of our schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments out of our schools. We certainly have taught a system that, you know, certainly situational ethics. You are the determinant of what should be done. How can we've taken discipline out of our schools. We've taken discipline out of our homes. And then why we wonder why we seem to be moving towards moral anarchy. Well, I would think that really this responsibility lies with the school system. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Robert Vaughn, who's running for Congress in Southern California, and he was in charge of the Ron Paul movement down there, certainly, and now he's on the Central Committee. He's decided to run, and he is actually the Republican candidate. So, basically, how are you going to reach the people? Because they have to understand what the issue is. I assume this is a strongly a Democrat district. Is it pretty well been gerrymandered for a Democrat candidate?
Well, yes, it is. Looking at the numbers, I have 144,995 Democrats and only 50,000-plus Republicans and 57-plus other people of other parties. So I think really reaching out to them is a key thing in there. And one is, of course, our economy and jobs. Now, I just heard that H.R. 1207 was voted down, and Grace Napolitano was a key vote in that, and that she voted it down. Now, why not audit the Federal Reserve, which is in charge of our economy and our money?
Now, I'm sorry, what was this legislation that you're talking about?
It was the audit the Fed bill.
All right, and so she's against auditing the Fed. In other words, she's in favor of the big banks and keeping from the American people the truth about what's happening. Would that be, that's a good, great talking point. Do you think you can make that? Is that going to be one of your major issues? Or usually congressional candidates have three or four major issues that want to separate them from their opponent. What are the major issues that you hope to use in your campaign to separate you from the Democrat, who obviously a predominantly Democrat district, but, you know, really there are an awful lot of people, even Democrats, who are very, very concerned about what's going on and concerned about jobs, who are concerned about the lowering living standards, who are concerned about the fact that we seem to be still involved in a war over there in the Near East, at least in the Middle East, and that Obama had promised to bring the troops home. And he hasn't done it. So what are the issues you're going to bring out? How do you feel about the war in the Middle East? Do you think that we should be there? Do you think we already have an obligation to restore order to Iraq so that when we pull out there won't be chaos? Do you think we have an order to an obligation to defeat al-Qaeda in Afghanistan to protect the American people?
Well, one thing, I think we should cut off all funding to any enemies of the United States and any enemies of the people themselves living in foreign countries or here domestically. We've funded Hezbollah and a few other countries and a few other, we've even funded al-Qaeda at one time, so obviously they're getting their funding someplace somehow, so we need to actually cut off that funding. One, we're not really winning the hearts and minds of the people over there. We're doing more of a police action than we are doing a military action. And when it comes down to people living in a police state, no matter who is in charge, whether it's us or the Belgians or the Germans or the British, people are going to come to resent them. When people live in a police state, we get a resentment. I think one of the key issues I think that I really am going to stand out on is two, real immigration reform, and two, trying to get back our health care, and three, veterans' rights. I think because one thing in my district was heavily Hispanic, and the Hispanic people have put their sons and their daughters in harm's way of, in trying to be service in this country, and it's very patriotic that you still see that, at least in a group of people, including our own.
But if you take a strong stand on immigration, won't you antagonize many of the Hispanic people who really feel that immigration efforts to control immigration is an anti-Mexican or anti-Hispanic movement?
Well, I think that's the issue that we need to really address, that it's not a racist movement or a anti-Hispanic or anti-Mexican movement. It's actually a trying to shore up our business and our economy. Because if you do not control immigration into a country and you only have a certain amount of money and a certain amount of jobs and a certain amount of resources, that if you don't keep track of who's coming in and who's going out, those resources will soon be depleted in all sources, money, economy, and jobs. And if our economy was booming and industry was here in the United States instead of decreasing, and instead of going from a service industry going from a service industry back to a manufacturing industry, we can do better. But here in Los Angeles and here in the Central Valley in California, they shut off the water to the Central Valley, and basically it wiped out 40,000 jobs just in the agricultural business alone. And a lot of Hispanics come here to work on those farms and those cattle ranches. So, you know, I don't know what they're coming up here for except for the idea, one, freedom. And I think that's the real big thing that people come here to the United States is for freedom.
Well, shouldn't these people have the same right to freedom that everybody else? After all, they're immigrating to America because they want freedom. Should we discourage people from wanting freedom?
I don't think we should discourage people from wanting freedom, but one, they have to take care of their own country first. If they're trying to flee from freedom or tyranny and oppression, I don't mind them coming here, but they still should at least stop at the border and say, I'm coming. A lot of people just bypass the process and pay somebody maybe $5,000 across the border. Well, if they just want to come here to work, maybe we can set up our own program. They can come through the border, deposit a $5,000 bond, and that way they can work here for a year, and if they want to leave, they go back, their bond maybe earn a little interest, so that way they have something to go back on.
But yeah. they don't want to go back. They want to stay here. After all, they get free health care. They can get, you know, they can get all sorts of welfare benefits. They can get a job here that'll pay them five times what they can get in Mexico. And they get free education, subsidized education if you're going to college. I mean, why would anybody want to go back to a tyrannical country like Mexico when they could come to the land of milk and honey here in the United States? And Chris, you know, I'm really trying to put you on the defensive, because I agree with your position. But the thing is that people don't understand. Basically, these are not immigrants. They are people who've come into this country illegally, and they are simply in the process of bankrupting our nation. It costs almost $10 billion here in California to provide services and prisons for the people who are here illegally. We can't afford it. It's got to hurt every Hispanic in this state who's here illegally if we continue to allow illegal immigration. And if you care about the Hispanics in this state, the one thing you don't want to do is continue illegal immigration. These people are going to come here and take their jobs, and they're going to drive this state into bankruptcy, and that's what's going to happen to the people who are here illegally. They better wake up in time. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. And plus, the Americans of Hispanic descent probably agree as well, because they see their own jobs and their own way of living decreasing. Our way of life has been, and you put your finger on the button there, was that our spiritual life has been slowly taken away from us. We've moved from our center of God out to an outward darkness that we've been leading into. And it's going to be a spiritual battle, and it has to be a physical battle, and I hope it doesn't come down to people rioting in the streets. I think getting other people involved, running for office, helping a candidate run for office, or at least going to your city council and talking to those people who are elected and really vetting your candidates. What positions do they stand for? Illegal immigration is definitely a problem area for most candidates, especially in a heavy Hispanic district. But there's got to be more solutions than just pointing out the problems. And that's where we sort of stalled on it. Like with the Arizona solution, it's not necessarily the solution for illegal immigration. It's actually to remove the barriers of reporting from the Department of Motor Vehicles to Homeland Security every time somebody's pulled over. So when you're pulled over and that police officer swipes your card into that electronic machine in his vehicle, all your information immediately goes to the Department of Motor Vehicles and to Homeland Security. So I think it's just another way to invade privacy on the American citizens, because if a officer stops illegal alien, doesn't have an ID card, he's going to take him to his jail, can only hold him for 72 hours, because ICE won't come and pick him up. He can't hold him forever.
And I think the big thing is that people have to understand that the people in Washington, D.C. do not want to enforce our immigration laws. Basically, Maldev, Lulac, La Raza are all funded by the Ford Foundation, by other great tax-exempt foundations who have a different loyalty. They want to break down our society. They really want a one-world government, and they are actively encouraging illegal immigration, which is a subversive activity. But the Ford Foundation has been involved in subversive activities for a long period of time. I don't know if you've seen the material that Glenn Spencer's put out, but Glenn Spencer is certainly the number one expert on what's going on as far as immigration is concerned across our border. He flies the border with his own plane a couple of times a week, and they've refused steadfastly to build an adequate fence. Oh, they've got miles, hundreds of miles of fence. It's 3 feet high. 3 feet high? I mean, even a dwarf could get over that, but of course, if you're a dwarf, you can go under it because there's nothing under it. It's just a rail for hundreds of miles there. It's all showbiz. It's all political theater. We're not trying to stop illegal immigration. So what would you do if you were elected to Congress to try to stop illegal immigration?
Well, one thing, we definitely just have to stop the banter back and forth between the aisle and really try to work with Mexico and the American people on the border states. If we're going to secure the border, then we need to build either a bigger fence, and I'm sort of against that because fences can do two things. It can keep people out, and they can keep people in. So I do believe that we should make it so if these people want to come here to work, or they want to come to immigrate, that we should have at least a program and saying, look, we're not trying to make it harder for you. And that's the one thing that a lot of people have come here and find it, go through that process, that the process is costly, is sometimes unmanageable, or sometimes incomprehensible. So we definitely need to reform our immigration. We definitely need to reform our government from the ground up. And that's where the problem lies, is that many of us are just now getting back into the political process of finally holding our elected officials feet to the fire, saying follow the law first, and then we'll try and fix the problem.
All right. If you have a question for our congressional candidate, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, certainly if you don't want to rebuild it.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Who are manufacturers that love to have their factories here, but after all, they can go overseas, and they don't have to pay any taxes, corporate taxes you don't have to pay. And suddenly, if you keep your factory here, well, you're going to have to pay Social Security and Medicare taxes. Suddenly, you're going to have to put up with the EPA and OSHA and environmental restrictions and all of these things that make it difficult to own and operate a factory here in the United States. You have to pay higher salaries. You have to put up with the unions. So a lot of our factories have moved overseas, even though, Robert says, he feels that many of these manufacturers would love to be here in the United States, but if they operate in the United States, they can't compete price-wise. Would that be a fair appraisement?
That would be a fair appraisement.
Then what are we going to do about this situation? Because the people who control the leadership of both political parties are dedicated to globalization and redistribution of wealth between nations. That means transferring our wealth to other countries. That's why we have massive foreign aid programs. That's why we encourage factories to offshore their production and outsource their jobs.
And I think that's where reforming Congress and getting more good people who don't have an axe to grind or a career to make out of politics to get involved. For many years, people said, why don't you run for office since you know, you know, pretty much what the problems are? And I said, well, you know, first of all, I don't want to sell my soul. And now I found out I don't have to sell my soul, but I get to keep my principles and just stick to the rule of law, which is the Constitution, our highest authority in this land. Besides God, who comes first, is the Constitution. And many of these congressional candidates and many of these senators, and including the president, they swear an oath that they don't live up to. And they create these laws that circumvent the Bill of Rights, including the first 10. Just recently, we passed a Disclosure Act. I'm not sure if it's out of the Senate yet, but again, my opponent, Grace Napolitano, signed on to that. And it's become either a partisan or bipartisan way to, one, stop third parties, stop political dissent. So it's up to the people. It's up to us to get involved in our political systems, whether you consider yourself a Democrat, whether you consider a Republican, or a declined state voter, or what they call independent voter, get involved in your local communities. And it's going to have to start locally. It's going to have to start at your assembly district level, or your precinct level, or your city level, and you're going to have to keep them on notice that you're watching and paying attention, and that any taxes that come through, that we have to vote them down, because the American people's tax burden is way over. And our Congress people don't understand. I'm a working man, like a lot of people, so I know what it means if I spend more money than I have. Sooner or later, that man comes calling and says, hey, either give that back or get out of the house.
But, of course, we had, of course, tax cuts under George W. Bush. I mean, we had very effective and very good tax cuts. But then, of course, the Republican administration increased spending with the Medicare tax bill, Medicare drug bill, with the No Child Left Behind policies, with all sorts of, well, he had stimuluses. He was giving everybody checks. You know, George Bush was a great guy. He gave everybody money. But I don't understand how you can tax cuts, you know, cut taxes and increase spending. In fact, he left his last year in office a $1.4 trillion deficit, a $1.4 trillion deficit. And that's one reason why Barack Obama was elected. I mean, the massive spending on the part of the Republican Party and, of course, the wars in the Middle East, which most people oppose.
And this administration is spending more money from George Bush to George Washington combined. And that's the insanity. And Congress is the person with the purse strings. So it takes a few people to stand up and say no. Right now in Washington, I think we have two. I know Dr. Paul is one who says no to new tax, no to spending, and no to breaking the Constitution. Myself, John Dennis, who's running up in San Francisco in your area, there's two candidates there that are both liberty-minded and constitutionally minded. There are other candidates out there running on the Constitution. Whether it's lip service or not, I do know in my heart, and I believe in John Dennis's heart, that we are two candidates that are going to live up to our oath of office, which is to support and defend the Constitution and get back to the rule of law and making sure the money that we appropriate for our constituency is not overspent, misused, and quit raising their taxes and quit overspending on pie in the sky programs.
And support the Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we've got an awful lot of domestic enemies of the Constitution. A lot of them are serving in the Congress today. And basically, they are doing everything they can to destroy the foundation of this country by spending and spending and cutting taxes and spending and spending. And it just doesn't work. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest this evening is Robert Vaughn, who's running for Congress. Is that the 36th or 38th district?
It's the 38th congressional district. It's down here fully within Los Angeles County borders. And like I said before, it runs from Pomona, which is where the LA County Fairgrounds are, down to Norwalk, out to East LA and parts of Whittier, Hacienda Heights, Roland Heights, and La Puente. And it's a heavily Hispanic district, but, you know, there's some good people that have lived there that are good Americans that have been working there for many years.
All right, fine. So what are we going to do here? You've talked about immigration, and you don't want to do the fence. So if we're not going to have the fence, and certainly the people in Washington, D.C. don't want to enforce our immigration laws, so we've probably got maybe 20 million illegal immigrants here. How do you feel about simply just giving them amnesty, and we could we would not have an immigration problem if we simply gave all the illegal immigrants amnesty?
I think on a way to cut out paperwork, that'd probably be a great idea. But in the end, we just went through a census, and those people won't count. So again, we're not going to be appropriating the right resources for each state on the amount of increase into the United States. There is a poll that was done and asked people throughout the world where they wanted to live. If we just open our borders right now, we would increase our population by 67%. And that's, you know, if we have 4 million people here, just say for sake of argument, that would increase our population by 200 million people. So giving them amnesty is not the problem. But we do have to start looking at a case-by-case basis.
Well, but what have we got 20 million illegal immigrants. How are you going to deal with that? Because this is a very real problem today, and I think a lot of people feel very strongly about it. And certainly in Arizona, they've tried to come up with legislation that would simply reinforce the federal laws. Basically, their laws, they brought them into line with federal laws, because the federal government will not enforce their own laws. If you were running for Congress, do you oppose or support what the state of Arizona has done?
I support the idea that we should take care of the criminal element of illegal immigration. That is one thing.
Who is here illegally is a criminal for all intents and purposes. You're talking about the violent criminals, but what are we going to do about the 20 million people here? How would you? You're running for Congress. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Robert Vaughn. I'm just asking him what he's going to do. We've got 20 million illegal immigrants, and the federal government refuses to support the immigration laws. The state of Arizona has enacted legislation to bring their legislation, their laws, in line with the federal laws, which the federal government refuses to enforce. Now, there are a lot of people who support what Arizona is doing. They think that they're on the front lines of this. Something has to be done. And what's wrong with Sydney? Not racial profiling, but if somebody's stopped and they are asked for identification, they don't have any, what's wrong then with reporting them to the Immigration and Naturalization Service? That is really what the law there does. They have another element which I don't like, which of course is they want everybody to carry an ID card, and I think that is a very dangerous supposition. But other than that, what do you think about the rest of the law? It has nothing to do with criminals. It has to do with whether they're here illegally. Should the state of Arizona be trying to get people who are in this country illegally out of the country?
I think they should do everything in their power to remove the people from their communities that, for one, are part of a criminal element, two, that don't have the documentation to be here. Our problem would be is that if once these people are arrested and they call immigration, will immigration actually come up and pick them out?
Well, the issue is, should they be doing it? The other is a federal issue, and the immigration should be doing something, but should the state be trying to defend itself?
A state should absolutely try to defend themselves. And that's where it comes down to the 10th Amendment. And that's and like I said, the real problem is, let's say the states pick these people up. How long are they going to hold these people in jail when ICE refuses to pick them up? You know, are they going to create their own busing program? Then it's going to come to a different problem between the Mexican government and the state of Arizona without the backing of the federal government. And see, the federal government's got to have to back up each of the border states. And we have to really work on all illegal immigration, people who come here and overstay their visas from whatever country they're from. So I don't believe in racial profiling, but of course we're looking at a problem that is the biggest problems are south of the border. And like we talked before, some are fleeing poverty, some are fleeing tyranny. And then there's people who've been here as young children. So we're going to have to really, really sit down and talk about these issues and how we're going to approach them. I mean, one, we have children here who have been here since 3 years old, going to our school systems, now working one or two jobs, going to our colleges, and paying into a bogus Social Security number. So what do we do to those people?
Well, the federal government knows their bogus Social Security numbers, and the federal government is encouraging that. So, I mean, basically, the federal government wants illegal immigration. They're encouraging it because they want them playing into Social Security. They just can't tell the American people that we have to have the illegal immigrants here because we've killed off so many children through abortion. So there are no young people or very few young people entering the workforce. We've got to get workers someplace, or the whole Ponzi scheme comes down. That's why the federal government, one of the reasons why, they're actively encouraging illegal immigration, but they can't tell the American people.
And, you know, that's the one thing about the Hispanic people, is that they need to know that part of this abortion issue, or what I call the eugenics program, is basically getting people to voluntarily kill off their own offspring in their future. It's a very evil plan. And I talked to a gentleman the other day who's trying to encourage adoption rather abortion. And, you know, he talked about the thing, how Planned Parenthood is more efficiently run, has all the programs set up right there, and they say, well, we get some money from the federal government, but we don't pay for abortions with that. We just pay for our clinics or for our operations or for our literature. We got to actually stop funding Planned Parenthood, which is just basically a eugenics program to kill off not just the American people, but people in general.
You're absolutely right. Well, before we go on, I want you to get your website out and tell people how they could get in touch with you and help you in your effort to get to be elected congressman.
Well, I kept my website very simple as far as its address because I needed to remember it, and it's electrobert.com. That's E-L-E-C-T, Robert.com. My email address is the same, except with 38, electrobert38@AOL.com. So, and my phone number is right on my website, which is 909-263-2470, and you won't be sent to a magic machine where somebody else picks up. I will actually pick up and answer your questions if you have any.
Go ahead and give your telephone number one more time. You always give it twice.
Oh, okay. My email address, again, is electrobert38@AOL.com. My website is electrobert.com, and my phone number is 909-263-2470.
All right. I mean, I think that the big issues are certainly immigration. I think that the certainly jobs are important. And then, because I really believe the war is a very important issue with many people. Well, let's go to Ruby, who's calling from Live Oak. Hi, Ruby. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I just wanted to comment. I mean, I've been listening to your show. I've been listening to Mr. Bond, and it just doesn't impress me much.
Not a nice thing to say.
No, I've heard you ask him several times about the immigration issue, and I don't hear any real concrete answers. And this is what so many people want, is a concrete answer. And I just feel like, you know, you've got to come up with something a little stronger than what he's saying. I mean, Mr. Bond, I appreciate the fact that you are running for Congress, and I appreciate the fact that you're really trying to solve the problem, but you're... I just don't hear any real strong answers, and I'm only saying this because I've lived in this state for 60 years, and I know what it's like to try to get a job in this state, and I don't understand why we should be so worried about, you know, employing all of these immigrants when Americans can't get jobs.
Well, I think if you have to use the term illegal immigrants, Ruby, don't mix up legal immigrants from illegal. But how would you respond to Ruby here? She obviously feels motivated to call. And what would you say to Ruby in response to her? Said, well, you don't have a real solution for the immigration issue.
Well, there's a lot of solutions. The thing is that no one's bringing them to the table. One is taking care of the criminal element right off the bat. Anybody who breaks the laws here, no matter what country they are, they either need to be locked up, kicked out, and make sure that they do not get back in here again, and make sure there's a way that they do not get citizenship ever. I'm sorry you break a law or hurt somebody here, that automatically...
As Dr. Stan said, the very fact that they're here illegally is that they've broken the law. one thing. And another thing, how many prisoners do we have in the state who are illegal immigrants? Why are they here? Why aren't they deported?
And that's the other thing. And see, this is where the federal government, who's in charge of the immigration, are not pushing to enforce those laws and remove them. So,
well, why can't we as a state declare our sovereignty and do just that?
You know, actually, there's been in the state a law in the books since, I believe, 1979, but I could be wrong. State Senator Mountjoy was one of them, that we do have the ability right now to declare sovereignty. It will take all it would take is just a pencil work from the governor to do it.
Well, I don't know about you, but I think I'm getting a little sick and tired of being pushed around by the federal government.
I think we all are, Ruby, and I appreciate so much your calling. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. But let's get your view on the war, because I think the war is something, especially the fact we're going to war with Iran probably before you are elected to office. Why, of course, what is your stance going to be, first of all, on the fact that we're at war, 9 years in Afghanistan, the longest war we have ever fought? We certainly have been in Iraq, and of course, Iraq is today, even though the troops have pulled out, is totally chaotic. And now they're talking about going to war with Iran. What is your feeling about this?
Well, just like, you know, I take from history what people have talked about wars. One, you can't really fight a war on two fronts. Two, you can't fight a war that is so away from your resources, your supply lines, and we're doing just that, and we're bankrupting the nation to do so. We borrow money from China and other places to fund a war that's overseas and ill-begotten and not really winnable.
But if we pull out, there's going to be chaos.
Well, there's going to be chaos whether we stay in there or not, because one way or another, our country is going to go broke and we won't be able to fund or fuel our American soldiers.
Well,
how can we supply them arms? How can we supply them ammunition if we have no money to manufacture these things?
You're absolutely right. The thing is that Ron Paul has made it very obvious. These are unconstitutional wars. Only Congress can declare wars. We have never declared war. We didn't declare war on Afghanistan. We did not declare war on Iraq. I say presidents just went ahead unilaterally and launched these wars. And suddenly these are unconstitutional, and we should never have gone in, and we should pull out immediately. And you say there's going to be chaos. Sure, there's going to be chaos. There's chaos if we're there, or the chaos if we're not there. But I think this is a very significant issue. How does your opponent feel about the wars? Has she taken a position on that?
I believe she's taken a position on it, but she still votes to fund it.
Well, fine, then you can attack her and very, very efficiently for funding these wars. She can say, I'm against the war, but we've got to fund our troops. No, she should be against the war and take away the funding. They've got to bring the troops home. You support the troops by bringing them home and stop the killing and stopping them dying. So this would be a wonderful point to go after her on. And you're going to need a lot of points there in a predominantly Democratic district. And you've got to have one or two or three points of a really ring with the public. And how does she vote as far as the various government programs that seem to encourage, you know, no tariffs at all? How do you feel about tariffs?
The tariffs, I think if we start training our children again at age 16 to 50 and everybody would probably be armed, we wouldn't have a problem with terrorism.
No, tariffs.
Tariffs.
Basically,
oh, tariffs.
To defend our industry so that actually it would be advantageous to produce here. This was certainly called for our Constitution. Tariffs gave us a very, very strong economy for 170 years, and they were been repealed because our leaders are globalists and they really want to transfer our factories overseas. But have you taken a position on tariffs and trying to actually strengthen our economy by protecting our industries?
And those actually are stated in the Constitution about imports and duties. Tariffs need to be reinstituted, but the problem is like you stated, is that these corporations went multinational, so now they just hide their corporation, their monies, over into a different country. And like I said, there are people here that own manufacturing, that want to bring their manufacturing, that still have their manufacturing here, and they're struggling so hard to keep it here, but one day either they'll have to sell or move. And that's where it's going to come back down to. If we don't institute the tariffs and the duty and give a real fair tax system, which means, for me, there should be no income tax. There should be no Social Security tax, because obviously they're only taking that money from the Social Security system, putting it into the general fund, and spending it any way they choose.
Well, what are you going to do with Social Security? Certainly, we never should have started it, but what do we do today with the people who are dependent upon it? We never should have started Medicare, and Medicare is bankrupt, and Social Security are bankrupt. But what are we going to do? I mean, how could we possibly take care of all these older people if we took away Medicare, if we took away Social Security? I mean, the people may want to have, you know, live under the Constitution, but very few people are willing to give up the things that they're getting from the government just to stay and on principle.
Well, one thing is that this year there was a report that this is the first year that Social Security has actually spent more money than it's taking in. And again, it's bankrupting the system itself when they remove the money and put it into the general fund. It was never supposed to go into the general fund. And I'm one of these systems. I've been playing into the system for over 40 years now. And, you know, I'm not going to see, I know I'm not going to see a penny of Social Security.
Sure.
And the people that are dependent upon it now, well, sooner or later, there won't be a Social Security check. They're actually removing the checks and putting everybody, making sure they have a direct deposit account.
And another very significant thing is that Congress has voted that we will not get a cost of living increase. Now, I get Social Security. I don't agree with it, but I've paid into it for many years, and so I get Social Security. Well, we're not going to get a cost of living increase this year or for the next 3 years. At least this seems to be the decision made by Congress, yet the Congress members of Congress are going to increase their pay. They're going to get an increase in pay, but not the elderly. This is a great issue, and certainly you can't come out and say we're going to do away with Social Security. You have to just say it's bankrupt. They know it's bankrupt. They're not going to give cost of living increases. Eventually, they're going to have to raise the age of retirement because it's a fraudulent system. You don't have to come up with a solution, but you've got to point out that your opponent has been supporting this fraudulent system.
Well, I think it's disgusting. One thing, I think Congress has paid too much. From my understanding, there's the yearly pay is $174,000 a year. I surely can live on way less than that, which I'm doing now. I think that we should decrease it by at least $74,000 a year and probably go down below that, because I understand that those guys get a budget to run their offices.
What I could suggest is really something that should be done, and that is, of course, to have Congress meet now more than 3 months a year, that no bill may be more than 10 pages long. This latest legislation, 3,000 pages, and the man who wrote it said, I don't know what's in it. But we're going to find out how it works once it's been enforced. That was Christopher Dodd. What you need to do is come to things that will appeal to people, like certainly no legislation can have anything attached to it. It will pass without any other subjects being added onto it. Nothing more than 10 pages long, and certainly Congress meets 3 months out of the year. Revolutionary ideas, but of course it was Will Rogers who said that no man's purse or property or home are safe when Congress is in session. And Robert, I wish you well. You know, I've argued with you here, just trying to get you to clarify your positions, and you need three or four positions, and then hammer away at them, and then learn not to answer questions that you don't want to answer. That, of course, is the secret that you learn when you are going to be a politician. I wish you well. We've got about three more minutes, so just hang on. But I think, ladies and gentlemen, that Robert has the willingness to get out there on the front lines. We need to encourage people who really are prepared to do something. We need to help them clarify the issues. And remember, I've run for Congress on two occasions. I've sure made a lot of mistakes. What you need to do is learn how to use the medium. And what's the old adage? I don't say what they say. Just be sure they spell my name correctly. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Robert, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I'd like to thank you first, Dr. Stan, for inviting me on. It's always...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Sydney, enforce the immigration laws and build a fence. That's and, of course, cut off the welfare benefits to people who are here in our country illegally. People of California voted overwhelmingly for Prop 185, I think it was, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, and suddenly it has never been enforced. It's the law of California, and it could be enforced, but nobody has the courage to do it because some judge said, oh, it's unconstitutional to enforce the law passed by the people here. And, of course, with the war, we should be against the war. We should bring our children home, our young people home, and we should certainly be speaking out now against what would appear to be a coming war with Iran. And we should do everything we can, of course, to encourage the industry here in America by reinstalling tariffs. It's just that simple. And stop giving tax benefits and special privileges and special loans and encouraging our corporations to move overseas to offshore production and outsource jobs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you agree with this, we hope that if you're in a position to help, that you will. And you can reach us by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to help financially, then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. Because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And then, of course, we want to mention we're carrying Alex Jones' great new DVDs, The Invisible Empire, police state for. We're carrying at the wonderful new God's Wonders. It's the Wonders of God, God's Wonders. And basically, it's an 85-minute DVD that will make you feel good about yourself. And as you begin to realize, of course, that the wonders of nature could not have happened by themselves. There has to be a God. And then, of course, the discussion gets into a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a beautifully done DVD, and we certainly recommend it to you. We've started carrying it. If you like beautiful music, the music of piano music of Newell Oler, if you'd like a sample, we can send that to you free of charge. And, of course, if you'd like to get the, there are five DVDs, five CDs, simply of perhaps six or eight piano songs that he does a magnificent job, especially one of those for the old hymns we used to sing before, of course, they moved into the churches and changed the music and the message of the Christian churches. And believe me, it did not happen by accident. It happened by intent. And, of course, I do not believe the music in our churches today honors God in the least bit. Well, all of these items I mentioned, certainly Newell Oler's music, and you can certainly get a sample of that if you simply request it, or if you'd like to order the CDs, we do have them. The God's Wonders, and of course it's a beautiful DVD, you'll really be enraptured by it, and of course it enforces your faith and hopefully will bring other people into a personal relationship with our Lord. And then, of course, the DVDs by Alex Jones, The Invisible Empire, and Police State 4. And then, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, is essential to understand what's going on. We've got lots of great books. One of the better ones that they were carrying is called The Franklin Scandal. We recommend it. It's the story of the pedophile network that started in Boys Town, extended into the White House, and the fact you've never heard of this is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists over what the American people think. None of the major publishers would carry it. Fortunately, Trinday did publish it, and we carry another excellent book from them called A Terrible Mistake, the story of the fellow who jumped out the window after taking LSD, but he didn't jump. Well, please pray for America, our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for caring about your world, wanting to know more, not afraid to ask the real questions. That's the kind of people we have at the Power Hour, and if you're new to the Power Hour, well, thank you for joining us. You're in for a real education, that's right. That's what we do here every day, is we educate, because there is so much we need to know. There's so much we need to know to understand what the mainspin media is trying to do. If we can understand what they're trying to do, and if we understand what the truth is, then we will be able to decide our own direction, and that is what is so incredibly important. It is a beautiful day, July 1. Hope you're having a wonderful day, and hope you're getting ready for a very special weekend. Hope your weekend is geared around Independence Day and not 4th of July. We're going to be talking this morning in the second hour to Dr. Zoltan Rona about vitamin D. Seems more and more in the news today about vitamin D. It seems to be linked to almost everything in our body. Well, it's so important. We do need to talk about that. And then in the third hour,
We're going to talk to Larry Everest. Yesterday we covered a story about a man who's going around and really creating havoc for BP. Well, today we have him on the show. So in the third hour, we're going to find out what he is learning by going to the BP meetings and upsetting the BP people. Seems that there is a lot more behind the story of BP than just a leak in an oil well. I'm sure, unfortunately, that BP will go bankrupt as a result of this. It's kind of a clue when they're already changing the names of their stations. I think that's a real clue that they've already bought perhaps another name. So sad for the people in the Gulf. But then, you know, they got the lesson from Katrina. No one really sort of got it then and understood it. But I think now we know. Got a major breaking story about the cleanup workers from the Exxon Valdez. That's right. Nearly every Exxon Valdez disaster cleanup worker is now dead. We're going to have a news report from that, as well as you'll find out the average age of those people, what age they should be now, and why that is such a startling situation. It looks like BP is now even trying to control the access to medical care for cleanup workers. More reports of those people getting ill, and I will tell you, we do have some chatter today that you will hear about, and I think this chatter needs to be taken seriously from one of our listeners regarding what the EMS now say is going on in the preparations in the Gulf, and I'm talking about EMS units. The Katrina trailers have now been revived for the Gulf oil disaster workers. Oh, good. Just what they need. And remember the Russian spy people? You know, this joke of a spy story that we're being told and we're supposed to believe is real? Well, one of the spies, was let out on bail. And the rest of that stupid story will be later. Phyllis Schlafly has now said that if Kagan becomes a Supreme Court justice, our Constitution is endangered. I don't think there is any question. I don't know if you've been watching her or not. We haven't even really talked about it. It is going to be a coronation for her. It's pretty obvious. What a non-person issue person they've got up there. It's just embarrassing. It really is to me, anyway. Have you heard about the preventative mastectomies or elective mastectomies that have been done on women? Basically for the reason of preventing breast cancer. Startling new evidence on what a study finds regarding that. And Russia bought 22 tons of gold in May. Scientists and psychiatrists now want to target infants as mental patients. Oh, wow. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned for the hour.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water clearing your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been...